Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. Today is the 7th of August in 2020. This is episode number 342. Today on Teams with me, I have Kale, Kendall, myself, Cynthia, and our special guest, Ines Khalifi. And we are going to be talking about Azure Digital Twins. Before we get into the topic today, we have a couple updates to share as usual. Kale, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. This one's like arguably a little less technical, but it's about there was a nice blog post written up here by one of our CVPs from Azure Data about some of the new Azure SQL learning tools to help the teams or help people who are ramping up on SQL Server or, you know, some of these data platforms. And there's a nice data path there for people to use to learn the fundamentals of SQL. There's all sorts of content and GitHub content and YouTube content, all kinds of different things to help people as we're going through this kind of global pandemic and things like that, ramping up on new technology, maybe for a new career or enhancing your existing career with this. So I thought it was a super cool one. And I see Cynthia's pegging me that I stole her item, but sorry about that, Cynthia. I just saw that one beforehand.
But something else that was really interesting that I thought I saw in the post was that it is for people that are both getting into Azure for the first time, whether they're like really seasoned SQL experts already, or people that are like starting out fresh entirely, because then there'll be content for both people starting on Azure SQL or just people starting on SQL in general. And then Kendall, I know you also had something to share.
Yeah, so this was posted yesterday, but basically within the Azure portal, you can have this new view for your Kubernetes clusters or your AKS clusters called the resource view. And essentially what it allows you to do is like, developers can basically see in the portal things like their deployments, the workloads that are actually running on their cluster. They can filter by namespace. You can actually find the node that an application is running on and get the pod IP address. And so a lot of this is really lower level kind of Kubernetes paradigms that we've now brought up and surfaced via the Azure portal. So I think this is just going to be really neat, because if you, you know, use a combination of your AKS cluster and this resource view and some of the other things in Azure Monitor for containers, I think it's just going to make, you know, getting visibility into your cluster a bit easier. And so I think that, you know, it's just a start. It's just kind of a pane of glass into what's happening in the cluster. But I think as that feature continues to develop, and as we continue to just make managing Kubernetes on Azure easier, I think this is a really good step in the right direction. Oh, and, you know, another brief update. I believe that as of yesterday or the day before, .NET Framework 4.8 is now supported and available in app service. So just a quick note there.
Oh, yeah. I had one other thing, too. I forgot when Kendall said that. The other thing, I recorded some Twitch streams this week. So that was interesting. These were live, you know, on Twitch. It's all about blockchain. But basically, we did – there's three sessions total. I did one along with Megan Lewis on the first one. She did one the second day, and then I did it again with her we co-presented on the third day on logic apps and things like that. But if you're interested, the streams are up there on Twitch. If you just go, we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's twitch.tv/Microsoft Developer. There's also like a ton of other Microsoft Developer content up there. I didn't know this, but like that stuff's been going on for a while. And I was like, this is super cool. So another way to get content.
And then there's one more that Evan put into our notes, is that Azure Advisor Quick Fix is now available. So before, you probably only apply your fixes or recommendations on Azure Advisor one at a time, but now you're able to select multiple resources simultaneously and click them to just have the fixes or have the remediations run right away. Anything else? If not, then let's turn it over to Ines. Ines, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what you do at Microsoft?
Yeah. My name is Ines Khalifi. I'm the product lead on Azure Digital Twins. Yeah, in Azure.
Awesome. So we will start with, what is Azure Digital Twins?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, Azure Digital Twins is it's an Azure service, is a platform as a service, and it's really for customers to create comprehensive digital models of an entire environment, so they can model and bring to life whether it's building or factories, stadiums, cities, and they can really bring this physical world digitally, so they can do really interesting use cases and drive efficiencies, whether it's, you know, for energy or building management or product or simulation, and capture all sorts of insights that they wouldn't otherwise be able to capture.
So yeah, just, I have a question. When you say modeling, how is that represented, right? I mean, model it via code, model it via like a graphical, you know, design, like what is modeling something like that from the real world look like in this sense? Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Concretely, yeah. Modeling is, you can basically create these custom domain models for anything, whether you're trying to model a business system, a place, a thing. And we have what we call our digital twins definition language, which is basically our kind of open and standard definition language to describe all these things, whether you want to describe the telemetry, the properties, commands, relationships, components, anything you'd want to describe the behavior as well of what you're modeling. And we do have we have tooling for digital twins definition language. We have various tools that help with parsing and validation and making sure that the models you're creating will work well with our Azure services, whether it's digital twins or some of our other services that also take advantage of that definition language as you model various capabilities. We also have in Visual Studio Code, we have a nice little extension that helps with everything from IntelliSense and more. And then, over time, we'll definitely be delivering a lot more tooling and visualization experiences for DTDL.
I'm curious, especially during this time, I'm guessing probably a lot of people are trying to model the COVID situation once people start returning to workplace. How do you model people, or like how do you model their movement? How does that work?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Yeah, given the global pandemic and a lot of the COVID focus, there's definitely been a lot of interesting use cases and customers we've worked with who are using or finding digital twins as kind of the right technology to use for a lot of these. Yeah, we have some concrete use cases that our customers have done is, as you can imagine, they're definitely setting up cameras to track people movement and to track, social distancing and all those various measures. You can literally model the, you know, a person, and that would probably entails, their movement, their coordinates, the context, you know, like what building or what space is that person in. And all these things you can model, you know, with the DTDL, the digital twins definition language, and really bring to life in that graph using our APIs. And then you can track, as things change in the physical world and people are moving and cameras are capturing different information and sensors are capturing information about these people and their temperatures, all of that is fed live into this graph that a lot of customers can now use to drive interesting insights and ask questions about, you know, are the right people far enough apart? You know, where are areas where we have people who are more, you know, crowded than other areas that we need to go dispatch or address or maybe dispose more hand sanitizer and things of that nature? So, yeah, the fact that DTDL is fairly flexible really lets you model all sorts of things, whether it's people or places or business processes, and really model these things in the context of where they are and what's happening in the real world is really where customers find the value there.
So when you talk about like modeling, setting up like a DSL or something for like these different type of objects, then is there some sort of bridge that's like bringing that, or like a service or something that's like hooking up to like maybe some IoT systems we have inside Azure for, like you mentioned, like cameras and things like that. So how does that linkage happen? And then does it like deploy assets into Azure as part of that to kind of like sync with your model, or how does that work?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. For all things that are, for example, you mentioned like devices and cameras and things, there are things that are sensors. We have integration with our Azure IoT Hub service. So this is really the service that our customers use to manage, connect and manage devices at scale. So a lot of our customers, what they'll do is they'll use IoT Hub to, you know, provision all those devices, connect them, get, you know, the influx of telemetry and the billions of data points that they need from cameras and all sorts of other sensors. And then you can really easily integrate that into digital twins and bring the relevant telemetry information, which is basically the device data that you care about, to, you know, input into digital twins. We have APIs that let you ingest or ingress all the data from the data sources that you care about, including IoT Hub. So a lot of our customers will take the data, the sensor information, use the APIs to funnel the relevant ones they care about into that graph. And then they'll add other data sources into digital twins. Like a lot of our customers have systems where they keep information about the state of the maintenance of those devices, or they keep information about the people like you describe. And all those things can be input into digital twins with the APIs. And this is really where you get the power of being able to get that live graph that not only has your data, your device information, but that in the context of all the other input systems you may care about to help you answer the questions in the right context.
And the follow-up question to that then too is like, how does the visualization come back? Like people are using this. So for instance, like I could imagine that people use things like Power BI or something like that for like reporting, not just like looking at like an actual graph on the screen or something, but how do people consume the data coming back out of this like in that form?
Yeah. So we have customers who do various things. As you describe, you know, we're an Azure service and we nicely integrate with whether it's, you know, Power Apps or Logic Apps or a lot of the kind of visualization dashboards that, you know, customers and partners are using today. And we have integration points where you can interact with the graph and those APIs to power those and create connectors if you wanted for Power Apps and Logic Apps and connect to even more, you know, data sources that a lot of the Dynamics offerings let customers do. And then we have partners where there's a lot of domain specific visualizations that that some customers will want to do, right? So we've for example, we have we've been working with a partner, Bentley, who does everything around, you know, CAD and data modeling. And they did a really interesting integration with their, you know, with their visualization platform, with their CAD modeling platform called iTwin. And they integrated that into Digital Twins. So for them, Digital Twins is the service that's really helping drive all the interesting insights they want to coalesce. And their visualizations are something that they've built themselves on top of Digital Twins that is really tailored to their use case and their domain and really into, you know, complex CAD systems and the types of business applications they want their customers to consume.
I'm curious, for digital twins, is it usually meant to be like live and simultaneous with the live setting, or are they meant to be used like as a simulation before you want to make certain changes into your manufacturing plant or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, really good question. We've actually seen both. We've really seen both use cases from customers. We definitely have use cases, whether it's around, you know, building management or digital twins infrastructure, where, you know, customers want to get real-time insights and alerts about what's happening, whether it's monitoring the health of an airplane part or a bridge, or what's happening in a building from a crowdsourcing perspective. And those experiences tend to be, you know, live, you know, near live, and they want to look at things in the context of what's happening and react as things change in the world. We also have other customers that have focused more on the, you know, the simulation aspect of digital twins, where it's more about bringing something to life so that they can, you know, simulate and test drive things in a manner that's way more cost effective than doing that, you know, physically in the real world. So another great partner that we've worked with is Ansys, who built basically physical simulation. So what they did is they let you use their simulation engine to bring a physical asset to life digitally and then run a whole bunch of simulations on it. And again, for them, it's taking advantage of the digital twins platform to capture all the various data points that a customer may want to incorporate as they do these simulations. And they spent obviously all the time and the know-how into the visualization experiences and the simulation engines and all the things that pertain to their domain and expertise and business value that really nicely build on top of digital twins.
Yeah, one other question I had was, and maybe this is just like, yeah, obviously people should know this, but like, is this open source, like specifically like the language and things that you've been talking about? Because you mentioned like some partners are integrating even like on the visualization side and things like that. Is that something where Microsoft like works super closely with them, or it's more loosely coupled like open source model where anybody can essentially extend this thing?
Yeah, no, we definitely have an open approach to this. So, for example, the digital twins definition language, that's, you know, we've open sourced that language. We're working closely. We have a digital twins consortium that's really about bringing a whole bunch of customers and partners together to think about, you know, since digital twins is becoming a core, you know, value prop for businesses, how do we bring together, you know, all the different domain languages and modeling and make sure that we're all building something that's open and standard and that will work for all of our customers and partners and businesses. So we're definitely doing that. And then on the visualization side, yeah, we've open sourced. So even though Azure Digital Twins is kind of the backbone and the platform as a service piece, we are building visualizations ourselves. So we released what we call our Azure Digital Twins Explorer. So it's a sample that's we've made open source and available on GitHub that lets you visualize basically your graph. So as you're developing, you know, as a developer and you want to get started with digital twins, you can see your graph come to life as for the things that you've modeled and the data you're feeding into it. You can interact and build your graph using the tool as well and edit and manage them. And actually, we've seen a lot of interest from our customers and partners. A lot of them have taken that as a baseline and they've added to it and contributed it back to the community, and we'll be making those things open source as well. So that's been great to see, and we're definitely hoping that as customers and partners onboard to digital twins and find value in these tools and build tools that are and visualization experiences very tailored to their business use cases, that they will share those to the community and kind of help customers in the similar use cases and domains. And that's something we'll be doing as well, whether it's for the digital twins definition language models for various domains and use cases, whether it's more samples like we've been working on for visualizations, for the graph and more. And we're looking forward to really working with a lot of developers on that. Yeah.
How's the what's the pricing model behind this? Like, how is this thing priced? If somebody, one of our listeners says, this sounds really awesome, I want to start using it, what should they expect and how do they get started and what kind of cost should they expect, like pricing wise?
Yeah, so we will be announcing pricing once the service is a general availability. And public preview right now, the good news is it's free. So they can just get started, onboard, experiment, test drive, you know, build models, you know, build a graph, build some interesting business applications that, you know, help them bring their physical world digitally. And that's at no cost. And then as we get closer to our GA, we will be announcing pricing and the pricing model for Azure Digital Twins. Yeah.
What did people use before Azure Digital Twins existed? Like, I'm sure people still like to do some of the very similar things. What, like, combination of services did they have to go to?
Yeah, that's a good question. Historically, yeah, digital twins is not a new concept. I mean, it dates back to, you know, NASA and back in the day when a lot of people thought about this concept of digital twins, and it's a well-known industry term. For a lot of the customers that we've closely worked with, they've had to build it themselves, right? So they've basically had to come up with their own, you know, modeling language, you know, and something that oftentimes would not work with other services. So it's very kind of custom to the solution they were building. They had to build their own graph, right? So they were probably either using Cosmos and some other databases, engines that we have available on Azure, and they had to manage all of the translation from what's being modeled to how they wanted to store that data. We also have really all these scenarios require kind of, you know, event processing and compute experiences. You want to understand what's happening in the graph and react to it and trigger different things that you want to do. And a lot of them have also spent a lot of time building those kind of distributed systems that can take that graph and do event processing at scale, right, distributed, which is not an easy task for a lot of our customers. And then all the integration points we talk about. So the value of digital twins is really getting the data in and getting the data out. So they've also had to invest themselves, build it yourself, getting all the services they care about to be integrated into the solution. So I think as we interact with customers and partners, the part that they see the most value prop with is the fact that we have taken a lot of these core pieces that they've had to kind of invest in themselves and stitch together and try to maintain and do that at scale as they grow their business and their deployments, and see that we've packaged that in a kind of secure and reliable and production ready manner, and that it's also technologies we're using that nicely translate to the other services we have in Azure and really help with that all up interoperability. So for them, it's they can really focus on what they care about and what they're good at, and we can kind of do the heavy lifting on all things around, you know, building a robust service that helps them bring all these physical things to life digitally, because there's a lot of technologies, it's doable, but it's not easy to do it at the right scale and quality. Yeah.
I know there's a recent announcement of a lot of new things that came out from digital twins. Can you talk about a couple of them that you're super excited about?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, we refreshed the public preview shortly after build. And really the big capabilities we added is open modeling language. So as you described, we had an earlier version of our preview, and it was very buildings focused. So you can model all sorts of buildings and capture building management insights. But we had so much demand from customers just talking about the fact that they wanted to build a digital twins of a turbine to capture, you know, product manufacturing efficiency. They wanted to build digital twins of an airplane and all sorts of things that we did not have a good kind of, you know, modeling capabilities for with the previous, version of the preview. So the fact that we now have this, you know, digital twins definition language powered flexible modeling language where you can create your own custom domain models, whatever you want to model, people, places, things, you know, workflows, service, business processes, you can take advantage of that language, which unlocked a whole bunch of use cases for customers. In addition, we updated our what we call our live execution environment. So that graph now has not only kind of rich event, you know, systems, we have nicer integration with Azure Functions now, and developers can really take advantage of that first class tooling and debugging and language of choice as well. We didn't have that with the previous version for all the things that you want to write business logic around as you react to things that are happening in the graph. Our graph is now more powerful. It's truly a graph. In the previous version, it was a tree, but now we've definitely enabled more powerful use cases because you can query, the graph nature of what you're bringing to life in that digital twins. We've done a lot of work around really integrating nicely with various Azure services. So now with the updated capabilities, you can take an existing, for example, IoT hub that you have, that lets you manage a lot of devices at scale. And it's now additive if you want to take advantage of digital twins and bringing the data that you care about from devices to combine it with other data from other systems. So that's another capability we didn't have with the previous update. And that's unlocked a lot of more use cases for customers and really accelerate also their time to value. The previous version did not really allow them to bring their existing IoT hub, for example. And then, in terms of routing to various services, we've continued to add and expand. We can write to the various Azure services that we know customers take advantage of, whether it's, you know, Azure Data Lake or Synapse or all the other, you know, Logic Apps, all the services that we know customers use for their business apps, as well as, time series insights. A lot of these use cases sometimes do require the ability to, you know, capture insights over, you know, timed window data. Like, let me look at all the insights from a building from, you know, a year ago and see how we're doing on that front. So we're excited that now we have, you know, integration with all these services that are going to let customers do more, whether it's for, you know, analytics or time series and other things. And then probably the biggest update really is about scale. So we shipped the initial version of Azure Digital Twins as a preview, and we were surprised and excited to see the customer growth and how fast they wanted to go to production and how much business their businesses were growing. And we really wanted to make sure with the update that they were really set up for that scale. You know, when you think about how many buildings you're going to be deploying, if you're you know, doing a digital twins of factories, there's a lot of factories, a lot of devices, they send a lot of data. So we really wanted to make sure that we had the right kind of scale capabilities across the board. So that's probably the, you know, the biggest update and what our customers and partners are also really excited about, because it really helps them now actually go to production as they had intended to with this update.
This is really cool. So I'm actually like still kind of trying to wrap my brain around this, like kind of how it works from the development stage all the way through to actually publishing these kind of different definitions and things of that nature. But it is really interesting because I was thinking about this scenario and I have for a long time and I didn't really know exactly the best way to do it. But it kind of, you know, I'm sure Cynthia and Kale, y'all can relate. But sometimes with the nature of working at Microsoft and working remotely so often, when we were going to the office, sometimes I was like, who's in the office? Like, are there even people in there? Which desks are open? All that. I feel like this would be such a cool way to kind of digitally represent like the Microsoft office and be able to kind of visualize that with even like integration with Azure Maps to be like, you know, there are people in these cubicles, but not in these cubicles. You know, I think that'd be really interesting. Is that something that like this, would that be a manifestation of this in the real world? Because I just want to make sure I'm kind of understanding some of the use cases.
Yeah, no, actually you described it very well. So one of the core use cases and the ones that we started it with the preview is exactly what you described. When we talk about building management, it's really about being able to build these dashboards that really help a lot of these facility managers understand, or facility operators for these buildings, where are people, where are places where we have more people than we should have. And they often use, like you said, Azure Maps, and they'll use Power BI, and they'll trigger various alerts when they notice that some conferences maybe are overcrowded. So that's a perfect, you know, applicable use case. Another one is the one we talked about. It's more digital twins of products. So we may have, for example, one of our partners, Bentley, did digital twins infrastructure. So their customers want to model bridges and various things that happen, you know, in cities, all the built infrastructure things. And their experiences are very much, there's a facility operator who sits in front of a dashboard and he literally can see what's the traffic on that bridge at any given time. And then he gets an alert when there's actually, you know, something that's being congested on the bridge, and he can zoom in or he or she can zoom in and actually see that, oh, wow, there's been a capture here of a truck that, and actually that's their demo. If you go look at their IoT show deep dive, you can see a truck that had an accident in the bridge, and that's what caused the congestion on that bridge. And, you know, all these live alerts and things where you're looking at the data from, cameras that are capturing what's happening in the, you know, on the road itself. And then you're looking at, they have data about the bridges and when they were last maintained, and they have data about weather. So all these things to bring that into their graph so they can ask the right question when a facilities manager or somebody who's monitoring these bridges or the health of the city is able to query against and interact with and get live alerts to go address really, really critical infrastructure issues. That's really where we see Azure Digital Twins broad applicability. I mean, we learn about new use cases every day, which is really awesome for us. But yes, anything you can literally model a people, a place, a thing, and you want to coalesce a lot of different information about it to reason and capture insights in the context of various things happening in the physical world, that's really where, you know, digital twins can help unlock all those business efficiencies. Yeah.
I can already see the people at the Microsoft office being like, they did not reserve that conference room. We're kicking. I can just see it. I'm always hopping into conference rooms.
Yep. No, that's definitely the map with the free busy conference room, crowdsourcing, all the different sensors that feed, you know, we had temperature sensors, I think, in our office to actually we built a prototype to test drive a lot of these things. So between the temperature and the audio noise level and, you know, we didn't have cameras. But yes, you can build all sorts of interesting who stole my conferences, today and who hasn't. Yeah.
Awesome. That is great. Any other last questions for Ennis?
No, just ask. This has been great. So thanks for coming and talking about this, because I think our listeners will appreciate it. And it's a super cool, you know, kind of platform for this. I guess the one thing I would ask is if you have any links to any of the samples and stuff you were talking about before, that'd be super awesome. We could share those with our listeners too.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. And yeah, we'll send you links to, we obviously have the product page that's up to date. Our docs are, you know, we're pretty proud of, we've documented a lot of the different capabilities. We have a couple different samples, all open source, that developers can just quickly, you know, look at and start playing around with the graph and see things live and poke around with our APIs. And then, as you mentioned, you know, whether it's, you know, Bentley, Ansys, or Willow, we have a lot of really interesting customer stories that we've published that can really help. To your point, it's nice to see some of these things concretely and look at those use cases and see what they look like. And we have a really interesting, you know, whether it's on the IoT Show deep dive video that we've done with some of these partners, some of the customer stories. I think it's really going to help a lot of the developers, you know, have a concrete view of, you know, what type of use case can I really build with this technology.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.